I want you to look at Psalm 139 in light of the 19 steps for a minute, okay? How does that verse go? That one that precedes where it says, "And you love me just as I am." What's right before that? Say what? I am your beloved. I am your beloved. Your creation. And you love me just as I am. Can you sing that? Can you say that? I'm your beloved. Your creation. And you love me just as I am. I dare you to say that. And you love me just as I am. And you love me just as I am. If you don't get God today, you weren't here. All right, dude. Verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. You know when I'm sitting down. You know when I'm standing up. You know when I'm coming in. You know when I'm going out. You understand all my thoughts. He knows all our thoughts. Remember? In light of the 19 steps. Thou compassest, You surround my path and my lying down, and You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, check it out, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is way beyond my little pea brain. Too wonderful for me. It is high. I can't even get it. It's so high above me. I cannot attain unto it. Whither? Where? Where shall I go from Thy Spirit? You know, I can run, but I sure can't hide. Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? You know, if I ascend up to heaven, You're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, check it out, He's there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, it doesn't matter where I go, even there shall Thy hand lead me. Reminds me of John 10, around 28 through 30. Where He says, I am in my Father's hand, and no man is able to pluck me out of my Father's hand. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, if I just do this in the dark, if I just close my eyes like the little kids, He can't see me. Even the night. Because of You, God, since You are light, even the night shall be light about me. Since wherever I am, You're there. So the lights don't ever go out. Everything's clear. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. God sees clearly 24 hours. And He doesn't sleep, by the way. There's a verse that says, the Lord neither slumbers nor sleeps. Where is that, Lord? I think it's Psalm 123. Say what? Yeah, you can't sneak out in the night when your dad's asleep, because he's not ever asleep. You know, one time, I don't know if I was worrying or somebody else, but all I know is how he brought it to me. That verse, I think it's in... Hang on, I'll be right back. I think it's in Psalm 1. Where is that, Lord? Psalm 123. I'm going to go there. Whoops. Wrong place. I'm not sure if that's it, but we'll see in a minute. Oh, I love verse 2. Don't go there, don't go there. Oh, that's so cool. Where's the other one? I think it's Psalm... Maybe it's Psalm...
Man, why don't I...
Psalm, Proverbs, Psalms, thank you, Proverbs. What in the daylights is that? Dude, yeah, but it's okay, I fell on it. Thank you, sir. Very much. Yeah, right. Hang on a second. I know the whole psalm by heart, but for some reason my brain's not working. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. That means sleep. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And I wrote in my Bible here because he told me, it said, if he's going to stay up at night, then I don't need to. You get it? Have you ever done that at night where you stay up worrying? Sorry? Anybody else wants to be honest? Okay, the rest of you are liars. Okay. So, now where were we? Psalm 139. Why don't I just go here, put my glasses back on so I can see it. Look at verse... Where did he say it? Where were we? 12. The darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. In other words, he's got control. I can't think of the reference. I can tell it to you. It's in Proverbs, and it reads like this. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Reword that, Patty, out loud. How would you say that? A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Reword it. But it's like, how about Jonah? I'm going to go down to Tarshish. And God's like, go ahead, get in the boat. See what happens. You think you're going down to Tarshish? You don't even know how low you're going. You're going to go for a swim, boy. And you ain't going to like it, because when you come out, instead of being wet, you're going to be puked on. You ready? Now look at verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Was God loving on some people today? Was God mothering on some people today? He's covered you in his mother's womb. You know something? When things happen in your life and you share them, you see, you know these, remember these things? What happened to him? You're in here somewhere. Oh, remember these things? It's not like that time I got in a fight with Tony Register, and he was a head taller than I am. And all my friends who were a head taller than I am said, oh, he's a wimp. You can fight him. Dude, I never laid a hand on him. Every time I went to swing, I saw stars. I mean, I literally saw stars because he kept hitting me in the eyes, you know. Remember these stars? I haven't been asking, and that, please forgive me if I need you to forgive me, but God is wanting some things established inside of us, like reading the Word. It's not an option, is it? Is it? Jesus in our life. Is that an option? Take Him or leave Him? Church, doors are open. Is it an option? You see what I'm saying? If it's an option, we'll end up doing ABC. Because everything in this world tries to take us, is clamoring for our attention, trying to take us away from God. But when Jesus is your choice, He turns your ABC into an ABCD. And everything in your life is all because Christ died. That's your whole motivation. All because Christ died. It's like, why do I do this? Because Christ died. Because see, He loved me. How much did He love me? Enough to die for me. Enough to do everything to bring me into right relationship with God. Enough to do everything to make me His own. Because I was an alien. I was a stranger. I was a rebel. I was outside of His kingdom. But it's all because Christ died. See, I was doing anything but Christ. And then He said, well, let's redeem that. And let's make it into, let's go a little bit further in. Let me put my blood on it. We'll call it all because Christ died. That's the motivation for what we do. All because Christ died. I was telling the boys this morning, our focus, His presence. Our focus, His presence. All because Christ died. All because Christ died. Let's keep going. I'm sorry, I don't feel like... Verse 14, you see, He said, you have covered me in my mother's womb. Oh, I know how this went. Sue gave a testimony one time. I don't know if she told y'all. I know she told y'all. But she had told me way before she told y'all. And it helped me. It just... Sue's mom was married, got TB, tuberculosis. She was in the hospital for 2 full years, what's called a TB sand clinic. Okay? Or whatever. And that people get tuberculosis and they're down for like a couple of years. And her mom needed to be cared for. Well, her husband came in, and the nurse that was caring for my mother-in-law and him got, no? Whatever. It was, okay. But because of that, because there was an association and they didn't have safeguards, da 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 da. You understand? Are you understanding? So he ends up leaving her to run off with this other woman. And my mother-in-law is hurting. And she had 2 kids. And she, in rebound, hurried up and married somebody. And after she married him and got pregnant, she found out this guy was a drunk, would not work. That became Sue's dad that she never met in her life. And so her mom divorced him and then did another rebound and married Sue's second dad that she did know. But there wasn't love there. It was like marrying out of need, necessity, rebound, whatever. Trying to take matters in their own hands to fix things instead of trusting in God. By the way, write down Hebrews 4:3a. Hebrews 4:3a. Remind me of that. Okay. So Sue, long story short, if that's possible now, Sue was an unwanted pregnancy. She married a guy through rebound. They conceived, and Sue was birthed or was conceived inside her mom. And then she ends up divorcing him. And then she marries another guy. And Sue's an unwanted pregnancy, right? So Sue, one day, God shows her this. She grows up her whole life feeling that she's an unwanted person. Her mom would read the newspaper like this, and Sue would come to try to talk to her, and she wouldn't look at her. She would talk behind the newspaper. Here, talk to the hand. Talk to the newspaper. Her mom was hurting. Her mom didn't have what she needed for herself, so she didn't have it to give away. So my wife grew up not feeling wanted. She used to run home from school every day thinking the whole family would have left and moved to get away from her. My wife had a lot of hard life. I'm not even telling you everything. But as an adult, God shows her one day, Father, shows her one day. He says, and this is what ministered to me so much. He said, Sue, I wanted you to be born. She said, but I was unwanted. And he said, Sue, because she was dealing with what she couldn't understand in her head until God revealed it. But she had felt being unwanted her whole life. And God showed her in a vision that when it was time for her to be birthed, the baby Sue didn't want to come out because the mom didn't want her, the dad didn't want her. Total rejection. But it wasn't because of Sue. It was because they were hurting people. Do you understand? And Father said, I was in the waiting room waiting for you to come out. She said, you were? That's probably how she said it too. And And Father took her in the waiting room. He gave her a vision and took her back in time and showed her how He was holding her, how He was so glad, and He was loving on her because He wanted her. Okay.
It's not like He did do it back in time. It's like He wants to take you back in time right now and do it now. Put it in your spirit, what was never there. He wants to put it in your spirit right now. It's a miracle. And then suddenly you, everything in you, agrees with that. I'm wanted.
But correct me if I'm wrong. He did do it back then. He was there. But you couldn't receive it into your spirit because what you were receiving was what your parents did. Do y'all understand that? I like my story better. I'm only kidding. I like the way she says it, but the point is that God did it in her. What she was lacking. Wait a minute, babe. This is what he meant by we're going to tag team. Please.
Hello. It's not like it's something that you already own and you just need to realize this is true. That's a mental comprehension. It's a miracle that happens right now, that God does it right now, but He takes you in this time warp. And now He does this. You're experiencing it right now in your life as though you're a baby getting it. And then it's as though you've always had it. It's such a miracle. It just changes everything about the insides of you. So it's not just understanding and realizing God was there and He wanted me. That is true. But this miracle of planting it in my spirit, it happens now. It's current, fresh miracle.
I want you to understand that when Sue gave that testimony to me, I don't know how many times I heard it. Maybe it was the first time, I don't know. But God took that testimony, parentheses, you have a testimony you need to give whenever God says so. God took that testimony. And it was a seed of life and light and truth that I received, and it brought forth healing and light and acceptance and deliverance and freedom. Do you understand? 1977, I'm praying, I meet Jesus. I'm just like going bonkers. I met him, and it was like awesome, but I didn't get planted for 10 months and 3 days. And though I loved Jesus, it was like it didn't even come anywhere near close to when I got planted. So on April 3rd of 77, I got planted in a church. And from that time, my life began to like time-lapse photography bloom in the Spirit. So I'm praying to Jesus one day, and He says to me, Jesus says to me, Harvey, I want you to know me by a new name. Okay, Jesus, what is it? And it was just like I could see it right in my eyes. Capital N, capital M, need dash meter, M-E-E-T-E-R. He said, I am your need meter. Now listen to this. He said, I am bigger than any need that you have. Hebrews 4:3a. For we which have believed do enter into rest. When you believe that, when you believe a truth from God, and you can trust God, you say, I believe that. You find yourself resting in that truth. You're not trying to get there. Have you ever entered into rest in God in some area? He's got so much more. We're in Psalm 139, verse 13. For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Therefore I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? You may look in the mirror and not like yourself. You may think about how others have treated you and not like yourself. But right next to this in big letters I have, He likes me. I got that one time, do you remember, Sue? We were at a camp meeting. And somebody was preaching somewhere in here, or somewhere, I don't know, where they were preaching. It was in the book somewhere. It was written. And all of a sudden, I got it. Everybody else may have a hard time with my flesh. So do I. But He likes me. He doesn't just love me. He likes me. I got so excited. I ran around that place. I ran up poles. I was going crazy. He likes me. Everybody else, I got all this rejection. People trying to straighten me out. I'm in school. They're wrapping tape around my mouth. People are spanking me every day of my life. People are like badgering me. People are trying to do everything. They can't control me. I'm like this ball of kinetic energy in a mouth that won't quit. And I'm just driving every... You think you have problems with your kids? You probably don't even have a clue. God was so merciful to you. He didn't give you me. I had had so many people try to control me and do all kinds of things and rejection, and they couldn't deny me my straight A's, but they would give me straight U's in conduct, you know? Go to the principal every day, get spankings. Oh my word. Stick your nose in the circle up on the chalkboard. Put your hand behind your back, stand on your tippy toes with your nose in the circle on the blackboard and stand there for an hour. Put the dunce hat and sit on the chair. I mean, they tried everything. But when I found out He likes me, He doesn't just love me, He likes me. Well, needless to say, that just made my day. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. God, I don't know it right well yet, but I sure want to get that right well. My substance, my body parts, were not hid from You when I was made in secret and curiously wrought or worked out in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes, God, did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written. Write down He's got a finger. Write down He's got a hand. Write down, look at that, little Harvey, look at it. Write it down now. Let's get them all in there. And all in Thy book, in God's book. In God's book. Not a book to stick in a library somewhere. It's His book. all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned. He put me all together, when as yet there was none of them. He made me out of nothing. Now look at verse 17 and 18. Somebody else read that, would you? Joy, would you read that?
How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God.
How precious also are thy thoughts unto joy, O God. How precious. His thoughts toward you are precious. I'm gonna live forever. I'm gonna die, no, never. Jesus died on a tree for me, and I'm gonna live forever. And I'm so thrilled about it. I just gonna stand and shout it. What? Yeah, I'm sure. I'm like tearing up here, just thinking how precious are his thoughts toward you.
Precious.
Yes, you know. Wow. Man. And then he says, look how many of them I have. How great is the sum of them? I got so many of them. You can't even count them all. If I should try to count them, God says, why, they're more in number than the sand. Now, go ahead and pick up a hand of sand next time you're near it. Just go ahead and count them out for me. Just tell me how much is in one hand. Would you? Would one of y'all do that for me? Just pick up a handful of sand and just count the grains. Just tell me how much sand is it. I want you to. Pick up a hand of sand. Okay, Ashley? Pick up a hand of sand. Pick up a hand of sand and just count the grains. God says, if I should count my thoughts, if I should count, God says, my thoughts toward you, they are more in number than the sand. And you don't like yourself. It's because you don't know yourself. So, wait a minute. Well, hold one second. So watch. Father, please help me to see myself through your eyes. Please help me to see me the way you do. I'm gonna live forever. I'm not real thrilled. I'm just got eternal life. I'm just gonna live forever. That's what I'm saying. When this hit me, I'm like about to bust. And I jumped up and ran all around that meeting. I was running up poles. I couldn't help it. And finally I had to get out of there because I felt like I was just gonna like burst. I mean, it took me a couple of laps around that inside the tent before I left the tent and then ran outside the tent and ran around all in this campground just yelling, "He likes me! For crying out loud, he likes me!" So I don't understand people can sit there, "Yeah, I'm going to live forever. I get it, preacher." "Yep. Thanks for sharing." Do you get it? Verse 17. "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me personally, O God!" Exclamation point. Ta-da! How great, innumerable, huge, number, bunch of commas, is the sum of them. Exclamation point. Ta-da! Again, for effect. "If I should count them," comma, because you got to think about it, pause, "they are more in number than the sand in the whole earth." And I just ask you to count one handful. Somebody please. I dare you. Pick up a hand of sand. Not dirt. Sand. Pick up one hand of sand and put it in something and then go home and count it. And a few weeks later when you get it counted, let me know how many were in there, would you? And then he says, because the guy's about to come undone, right? And then he says, "And when I wake up, I'm still with you! You didn't go nowhere! It wasn't just something you were feeling yesterday! I'm still with you!" Dude. "I'm going to live forever." Well, let's let it be you. God doesn't wake up because he don't go to sleep. So he's talking about us. "When I wake, I'm still with you, God." Okay? That's cool. Verse 19. "Surely, truly, you're going to slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain." Who uses God's name in vain? His enemies. That doesn't mean just saying GD, but it means using his name in any way that's not the way it was intended to be used, a way that's without respect, without praise, without honor. You understand? It includes all of it. "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. O search me, O God." I just want to be with you. Nobody's loved me like you have. Everybody else. You know what I was trying to tell you earlier? When I said, I have an idea of how God loves you unconditionally. Because I said, when some of you have, or other people have hurt me, or rejected me, or said things against me, or left me, or whatever, but if God's put them in me, I love them. And when they come back, like both the hitmen or like other people, when they're hurting, when they're in need, when they finally come to the end of themselves, when everybody else, when finally it comes to pass, and they come to me, I find myself loving them. I can't quit loving them. Do you understand? Now, there's some people... Right now, I can't say that's for every single person in the world. But it's for a whole lot of people. But there are some people, we just had one in my house yesterday. I don't have that inside of me for that person. I choose to love them, but I don't like them at all. And if I never see them again, I'm fine. But there's those in this room, for example, that doesn't matter what you do, I can't quit loving you. You understand? That's how God is with us. We hurt Him. I asked somebody earlier, do you read your Bible every day? Well, not every day. And the thought I felt like Jesus said to ask him was, how often do you want Jesus in your life? And it's not that you have to read the Bible to have Jesus in your life, but it's like He is the Word, John 1:1, okay, and through 14. But it's His thoughts, it's His ways, it's His seed of life that gets in us and brings forth His life in us. It's like being married to Him and having intimacy with Him constantly. Do you understand? Do you understand? It's not a religious exercise. It's not something you need to do to please Harvey. I'm saying it's having a real relationship. Go. It's food for our spirit, right? That's why I call it soul food. Right. Right. I know. Even yourself. I know. I know. We're all like that. You just said it. But we're all like that. We can love people, but we don't like them or are nice to them when we don't have God flowing in us and through us. That's why we need that Word. Do you find that as you're reading the Word, you find yourself loving people? Easier to forgive people? Have more grace, like oil in an engine, less friction in relationships. Do you notice that? If you have it, you will. If you read. See, God loves us no matter what we choose. But God loves us so much, He keeps coming to bring us truth. It's like, I'm waiting in line. Oh, you want to do video game first? Okay, I'll wait. You know why? Because you're worth it. You understand? God doesn't quit loving us. His love is not conditional. That's where God's bringing us. It's not that you're every single person you're just going to be in love with, but a whole lot more people God's going to be able to love through you if you let more of God inside of you. And break agreement with lies that, as He brings them up, break agreement with the lies so you can receive the truth and have that growing in you. That's the 19 steps, removing the seed, the plant of the lie plant. You know what I mean? So you can have a truth plant. Make sense? Right. 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 And I think the reason it didn't flow so, this is just you and me talking. I don't know how that helped, if that helped you, or there, God wanted to do more, but something God showed me through that was that I needed to have women deal with you instead of me dealing with you. That women needed to deal with you. And something that God would have us to do, for example, that we talked about. But see, you get to choose, okay? I'm just letting you know that one of my middle names is Relentless. And I'm just going to keep on until you get it. And it goes like this, that one of the things God wants to happen here is like let's say next week, if I said, does somebody have a sin that they're dealing with, a spirit that they're dealing with? What's the major one you're dealing with? Would you like to get rid of it? And you said, me. Well, let's say it was Joy that said, I have one. Then we need Roxanne and Patty and Judy, Snickle Fritz. We need you women to come up here to deal with her and to take her through. That doesn't mean you have to read the 19 steps. How do you remember them? Let the Spirit flow. When I try to do it word for word, it doesn't flow the same. It is truth. But you don't need to, you know, when I did it with DBJ and I just prayed as God brought it to me, we covered it basically. But what I'm saying is that needs to be exampled up here, because each one of us needs to learn how to do this. Because have you gotten any deliverance by doing these 19 steps? Anybody? Anybody not got deliverance by doing the 19 steps? Maybe you didn't get deliverance if you didn't do the 19 steps, if you want to be honest. Okay? But what I'm saying is, when you did it, did you find just by praying and asking Jesus to remove that and fill that with His blood, and you did it with this particular thing, did you notice a change in your life in that area? A change of attitude, a change of perspective? Did you notice? Well, guess what? We need to learn to do that. This is a lifelong, not that the rest of your life you have to keep 19 steps in front of you, but you need to get to where you own this. Now, leaders, I want you to get something. Realize what we're doing, what God's been having as an example. I'm not saying I do everything right. I'm just trying to help you understand something that I felt like He's been telling me. And that's this, leaders. For somebody to own something, you have to dwell there a while. When you go and read the Word, Patty, Roxanne, both of y'all have told me you've done this, or I've heard you've done this. Okay? I know others in the room have, but I'm just picking on you two for a second. Y'all, when you read the Word and you go to study a subject, like you have some verses, but then you cross-reference here and there, and you spend time on one subject, it gets fuller and richer and deeper, and it's like, wow, this is like so much better than just, I heard it on Sunday. But then you took the notes home, you prayed over them, you read the verses again, you asked God to open it up. He began to springboard you to other verses. It became a lot richer and fuller and way better, right? But that's what God wants us to do when we lead other people. We're not trying to get just a bunch of information into them. We're not trying to impress them with what we know or an alliterated outline. It's all A's, you know. I did all that, okay? I mean, because that's what was exampled to me. And I did all that, and it was like, you know, gag me with a pitchfork, you know. It's like, forget that noise. But as we dwell on one subject, we get to where we own it. And it becomes like a tool of the Holy Spirit that He uses the rest of our life. You know what I'm saying? It's part of your tool bag, so to speak. Yes? So what I'm saying is, when we're teaching, that's something we need to do, okay? Is dwell on an area. Not just a service. If God's leading you, if God's giving you something, if something's quickened, if you can see it's something that your people need, dwell there. Okay? If you look at number 17 on the 19 steps. Okay, but if you did, listen to what it says. Realize that there are layers of repentance. As our Savior reveals this sin with all its holds in our life and how we enjoyed it in the past and also had desire and union with this sin and the enemy spirits in our past, we must now choose to acknowledge your truth, break any and all agreement with them in our life at all. See, we ask God to remove the root, but now what he's doing is showing you all the feeder roots that came off of it and other things that you've made agreement for that to be rooted in you. You see, it starts with a seed, but it grows because we water it by watching adult films or whatever. Whatever the sin is, and that's your situation. All right, you ready? So we must now choose to acknowledge the truth, break any and all agreement with them in our life at all. Now listen to this. As he brings each incident up, each movie, each book, you know, bearskin book, you know. When I go bear hunting, that's not the kind of bear I'm going for, okay? As he brings each incident up, ask his forgiveness and bring it under Jesus' blood. Now, here's how I did the same subject you're talking about. God dealt with me about that, and then all these incidents, past people, past movies, past books, whatever. As he brought them up, sometimes I found myself reliving them. These spirits are saying, remember how you liked this, and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, it was like I would come to my senses, and I would say, wait a minute, that sin, I don't want that. I already broke agreement with that. I hope you're hearing this. This will really help anybody in this room that gets this. This is where we're going deeper. And it's at that time you say, Jesus, I'm sorry that I made a choice at that time in my life to let this in, to watch that, to think on that, to go where it took my thoughts. Please forgive me. I'm sorry that I did that. I want to bring myself under your blood. I realize that sin nailed you. That sin flogged you. That sin crammed a crown of thorns in you. That sin had you rejected. That sin had you spit on. Whatever it is he brings to your mind. And you repent over each incident as he brings it up. Because until you do, it's like you're letting it stay in there. You're saying, well, I want it all out of me. I want the effect out of me, but I don't want it out of me because I enjoyed it. See, God's taking you deeper. God's taking you way deeper. And you know what? That's why God's had us dwell on this. I think God showed me earlier, but I think He showed me another day too, that somebody showed up here one day, and I was teaching on the 19 steps, and they ended up leaving early. I feel like God said it's because they don't want to hear about 19 steps again. Because they're not willing to own the 19 steps. Because the very first one, are you willing to see your sin? And if you're not willing to see your sin, you're not going to want to be around here. Because you see, we want more of Jesus, but to get more of Jesus, we got to see more of our sin. So that we can break agreement with it, so we can get that area filled in with Jesus. Out sin, in Jesus. It's like so simple. But it starts with, am I willing to see it? And then you got to realize it was your sin because you chose to agree with that spirit. But watch this. It's that spirit. When I would do God, devil is present with me. He's right here. Romans, that's right. When I would do good, evil is present with me. Be good. Well, is God good? Is devil evil? Yes. Yes. So we say, look, watch this. When I would do good, evil is present with me. Okay? When I would do God, devil is present with me. Same thing. See? So my point is that God is wanting to work this deep thing in us. God showed me that, Patty, because, well, exactly what you were saying and seeing, and it's like God's like, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm separating the men from the boys. I'm separating the professors from the possessors. Many professors says they profess that they know me, but in works they deny me, being disobedient and reprobate, and I don't remember how it goes. Whatever. And every good work reprobate. You see, everybody doesn't want to go that deep. And that's okay. They can live at whatever level. Or they need time. Maybe they need time. Maybe they need 4 years. Give them 4 years. If that's what they need. And we just keep loving them during that time. You get it? Maybe they need 4 weeks. We just keep loving them. We're not mad at them. But God's wanting us to own this. Do you see? Do you know what I see when I look at you? Besides just, I see men and women of God, but I see every one of you. I see like 100 or hundreds or maybe 50 or 20 people that you are shepherding, you're discipling, or maybe thousands that you're affecting. Every one of you. I told you this is a minister training center. We don't just say all these words to say these words. This is what God's doing, is training you to be a minister. This isn't like going to Bible college and you know, like going through Bible college, they just put Bible on it the same as all the rest of the other colleges or universities in America. You're a freshman, you're a sophomore, you're a junior, you're a senior. You got to take these courses before you can go to the next level. Okay, you get, you know, did you get what I said? Okay, little minor bird, we're going to have a test. I keep telling you, you're taking a test all the time. It's called your life. You see, that's what you're dealing with there. See, we were Baptists and we learned a whole lot. We got a whole lot of good, and I always have a Baptist base. And I'm thankful for it and I love them. But I want to be a Christian. I want to be a follower of God. And He told me I can't serve man and God. I can't serve man or God in any denomination. He said, if you're going to follow me, it's not going to fit in with man. They're not going to approve it. They want you to look like them. They want you to dress like them. When I went to Bible college, they told me, no hair on the face. And being my sarcastic self, Gary, I said, do you want me to shave my eyebrows? That's how smart mouthed I was to my authority. I remember standing there right in front of the doors with this other group, and they said, you can't have hair on your face and come here. And I said, so do you want us to shave our eyebrows? See, I needed to learn to be under authority without gainsaying, without having to say words. Do you understand? I've already been down this road. It's not like I've arrived, but I don't just tell you stuff to tell you stuff. I tell you what's needed. And you're all growing at different rates and different levels, but I want you to know something. I am so pleased with y'all. When I start talking about y'all, like I start talking to my folks yesterday, and I go to talk about y'all, I'm just so thrilled with y'all. Being saved all these years, and I kept saying, God, I said, God, where's the church I read about in here? Where's the people I read about in here? A football game comes along and church is empty. Summer comes along and church is empty. A rock band shows up and half the church is going to a rock band. I don't get it, Lord. They say they love you, but it doesn't seem to be the same kind of love I have. And now I'm surrounded by all you Yahoos that like love God like I do. And it's just like so cool. I can't even tell you how cool it is to be surrounded by love extremists. I love it. It's cool. You have something to say?
Actually, I've been asking God to help me to utilize time. And I think when we were talking here a few minutes, and things started coming out, and he said, well, yeah, this is what he wanted me to say, is that you figure out there's 24 hours in a day. You, at least most people, sleep about 8 hours of that. Some people 4 hours or 3 hours. I'm close to 3 hours sometimes. And then you got your work that ties up maybe 13 hours to and fro.
Right.
But, then how much time are we spending for God in that 24 hours a day or that 7 days a week? So, it's just a challenge to look at that and look at it real deeply. How much time are we using?
I like the way that verse that Sue quotes, who will appoint me the time? Yeah. And it's like, did y'all get what he said? Good, right? Well, let me give you the opposite. I'm sorry, that applies to me. I beg him all the time, please, let me just spend time with you. And he says, go do tubs. I don't get it. He says, play chess with DBJ's brother. And then the last 2 days, he had me spend hours, because when I talked to him, it's like, and he's got these walls up, and it's real hard to get through and over his walls. And God has me playing chess, and on the side of the chessboard to the side, it has a chat room. And God says, if you talk to him on the phone, you don't get anywhere. But if you write it out, he has to read it, and he has to think about it. And he said, I'm like, but Lord, it takes a lot longer. And he's like, whose life is it anyway? I thought you gave it to me. Didn't you lose your life, Harv? Yep. He says, so go. She says, so go invest in Jan. That's his name. Go invest in Jan. So the last 2 days, I spent hours writing, witnessing to him. I say, God, I want to pray. And I live in a way where I basically pray without ceasing. I just pray all the time. But there's times I want to pray. You know how you get a burden or an unction? You just want to pray. And God says, bring me Patty and put her in my hands. He says, now, can you? I said, well, what do you want me to say? He said, just give her to me. Well, Lord, what do I say? I can see stuff. And he's like, just give her to me. Here, God, here's Patty. He said, thanks, got it. He said, I said, what about that Don down in Indiana Don? And he goes, give him to me. So I don't know if you've been around me lately and you just see me doing this. I constantly am handing you guys to the Lord or whoever. And it's like before I would pray, wax eloquent, say all these words. God's probably like, ho-hum, or something, I don't know. And now he's like, Harv, I don't need you to tell me what to do. He said, let's play a new game. He said, let's pretend I'm God, and you just give me Roxanne. That's all you got to do, just hand me Roxanne. Here's Roxanne. Now, you think I could take care of her? You think I know what she needs? Yeah. You think you could just trust me with her?
Yeah. He said, do you think I know better than you? Yeah. He says, and if you talk for an hour, would you really cover it all anyway? No. So, can you just hand me Roxanne? Can you just hand me Don? Lord, I get off the phone with Don, and I'm like, Lord, what do I do with Don? I mean, like, I got all this coming at me, and he's like, can you just hand me Don? I just hand him Don. What about these Ionia Musketeers? They're not calling me, Lord. Just give them to me. Which one? Here's Gary. Okay, I got him. Here's Spencer. Okay, I got him. Here's Jason. Okay, I got him. You see, Hebrews 4:3a, for we which have believed. Harvey, do you believe that I can take care of it? Do you believe I'm their need meter? Do you believe I'm big enough? Do you believe I know what they need? Do you believe I know how to get through? Do you understand? We which have believed do enter into rest. I am living so peacefully, and yet I don't get to spend time reading and praying like I wanted to, you know? But I mean, I didn't memorize thousands of verses by not reading it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to tell you there, God works in different ways. Anybody else? You know what's neat, Jesus, is you. I can't even imagine ever getting over you. Because I'm so much into you, and I'm just addicted. And I thank you, Lord, for this group that you've given us as our dear heart friends, as our companions, co-laborers together in ministry. And Lord, I'm just asking that, I want to thank you, Lord, for how you showed up today. I want to thank you for how you led. Even before it got started, I kept asking you, what do you want to do? And you said, you'll see. You just went blank. And I just knew you'd take care of it. And I like the way you took care of it. And I commit your words and your working in our hearts today into your capable hands, looking forward to the result, the fruit of it all. And Lord, help us to love you this week, to live you this week, and to love others to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Nobody like you. Amen.